Comfort, comfort now, my people. Speak of peace, so says our God. Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning under sorrow's load. Cry out to Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell her that her sins I cover, and her warfare now is over.
Hear the call to worship.
Prepare the way, the prophets call. Make ready the highways for God.
How we long to walk down the sidewalks in God's kingdom of peace.
Prepare our hearts, for God's realm opens up a new day.
We yearn for the time when the wolf and the lamb will live together in harmony.
Prepare the way. God promises a new day when adversaries will lay down their arms.
We dream of a world transformed by God's love.
May the God of peace fill our hearts with thanksgiving.
We rejoice, for God's Spirit is in our midst. Hark the glad sound, the Savior comes, the Savior promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice a song. Our glad hosannas, Prince of Peace, your welcome shall proclaim, and heaven's eternal arches ring with your beloved name.
As we enter into the candle lighting portion of our liturgy, we welcome you to bring out your own Advent candles and to join in with us as together we light our way towards the birth of Christ. Here is the ember of peace.
In a story passed on through the ages.
In a love surpassing all loves.
In a God who sacrifices self.
In the birth of a child.
Who is God?
Jesus of Nazareth.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Now the first candle on the Advent wreath has already been lit, and that's the candle of peace. Please join in with Judy as we light last week's candle was the candle of hope, and today's candle, join in with Judy as we light the candle of peace.
Shine through the darkness, Christ be our our light, shine in your church, gather today.
Longing for peace, our world is troubled. Longing for hope, many despair. Your word alone has power to save us. Make us your living voice.
Christ, be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light. Shine in your church. Gather today.
And God greets us here this morning with these words from Isaiah the prophet and the announcement of one to come. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And all God's people say, Amen.
Amen.
Will you join me, please, as we share the prayers of this congregation? O Lord, our God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one promised from long ago, and we give you our prayers and our praises, and we seek to praise you in this time, in this way of gathering, in this season. Lord, we are grateful for this season of Advent, this season of preparing our hearts. And this year, you've asked us to prepare our hearts in a very different way, a very different way than we're used to, without the gathering, without the running around, without the shopping, without so many things that we might call normal. You've asked us to gather and prepare our hearts, and we do that this morning in worship, but we do that throughout the week as well, in just remembering you, Jesus, our hope. Remembering you, Jesus, our peace. Remembering you, Jesus, our joy. And remembering you, Jesus, our highest love. Lord, we come to you on behalf of the world. We are not adequate to pray for the world, yet somehow you ask us to pray for the world at this moment, locked in a pandemic and trying to get out. Lord, we put our hope in you. We affirm here this morning that our hope is in you, our hope for our future, our hope for everlasting life, and our hope for today is in you. And yet at the same time, we offer our prayers for our government leaders, that you would give them wisdom right now. There is a mad scramble on for a vaccine to be this year to bring to the people a vaccine. Lord, we pray for wisdom for our leaders as they try to work out the logistics of doing that, and as they at the same time try to quell a pandemic that will probably last for a very long time. Lord, we ask that you would give them wisdom. We ask that you would give them grace and compassion as they try to make the very difficult decisions, sometimes life and death decisions, of who will get the vaccine first. Give them wisdom, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that our leaders and the leaders of all the
powerful nations of this world and the vaccine-producing nations not forget the poor, not forget the poor nations of this world, and not hoard for ourselves that which we are given. Lord, give them wisdom as they make plans that affect us, even this Christmas season. We long to worship you, and Lord, we thank you for new ways to worship you this year. We are experiencing new ways of worshiping you with people far away that we've never been able to worship before. We're experiencing that, Lord, and we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you will bless your church worldwide as we take advantage of new ways of worshiping online and dialing up different services of worship and expressions of worship. Lord, may we tune our hearts to you in all of these things, and may we not hold them selfishly, but may we hold them loosely and offer them to others. Lord, we pray for our city right now that needs your peace. The city's locked in many, many difficult decisions and many difficult ways. Lord, we pray for our healthcare workers right now. We pray, Lord, that you would give them strength and courage to keep up with their tasks. We pray especially this morning for workers in care homes and homes for seniors that are working overtime and working among conditions where they are afraid because of the pandemic, because of the virus. Lord, I ask that you would give them courage. We ask that you would keep this virus far from those that we know and love in the homes and from the homes themselves, and that you, Lord, would quell the threat of outbreak there. And Lord, we all have many people that we know are senior and many in homes. We think of them now. We take a moment now. We just lift them up to you, the people that we think of now. Lord, we all know many that are sick. Many of our number are sick, Lord, and need your care. We lift them up before you now. We ask that your hand of mercy would be upon Alice, upon Willie, and upon Dirk as they deal with cancer and as they wait for your healing touch. Please be near to them now, Lord. We pray for them now. And Lord, as we move into this the rest of this worship, we ask that your peace would be upon us. We ask that you would make us to be ambassadors of the Prince of Peace, that we may bring your peace to a needy world, to a world that needs peace. Lord, we cannot quell all the wars, so we ask that you would quell the wars. We cannot quell all the differences. We ask that you would come into the differences that keep nations and keep individuals at war. Lord, we pray that you would reign as Prince of Peace. So Lord, in this Christmas season, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you have made us into a worshiping church that works and waits and watches for Jesus in this Advent season and all the year round as we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading can be found in Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 16. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox.
The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean.
He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be destroyed. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile to Ephraim.
They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. Together they will plunder the people to the east. They will subdue Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subject to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea. With a scorching wind, he will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River.
He will break it up into seven streams so that anyone can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt.
Prophet has written of old how God's new creation shall come. Instead of the thorn tree, the fir tree shall grow, and the wolf shall lie down with the lamb. The mountains and hills shall burn forth into song, the peoples be led forth in praise. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God, the waters cover the sea. Yet nations shall prey on the meek of the world, and conflict turns parent to child. Their people despoil all the sweetness of earth, the briar and the thorn tree go wild. God, bring to fruition your will for the earth. No one shall hurt or destroy. That wisdom and justice shall reign in the land, and your people shall go forth in joy.
Well, the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah." He said that because he was trembling with fear. But by the time John was born, Zechariah was proclaiming by the Holy Spirit that God would guide our feet into the path of peace. And that's our prayer for this morning, that we would move from a place of fear to a place of peace. And I don't know about you, but I've really appreciated the peacefulness of this service. It has been good for my soul, which in many ways has been troubled lately. And so I've experienced that already this morning, and I hope we can continue to experience it as we open God's Word together. Will you pray with me, please? Our dear God, we thank you for your offer of peace. And we come as followers of Jesus saying, yes, Lord, yes, we want to receive the peace that you offer. by following in your ways. And so we open our hearts as we open your word that you would teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Herman spoke to us last week from the first half of this 11th chapter of Isaiah. And if you're paying attention, you know that we've overlapped just a little bit in the verses from last week's sermon topic to this week's. So last week, Herman spoke to us about the grace that brings hope from growth like new growth out of a stump. And today, we're going to look and see how that ties in with peace. And why? Well, because it's our conviction that the hope and peace found in the grace of Jesus Christ are the best antidote for fear. The people who originally received these words that we read from Isaiah, they lived in dangerous and unsettling times. A very, very powerful army was on the doorstep and had already overrun their next door neighbors. Now, these were not the regional armies that they were used to, but no, this was the most fearsome army that the people of the ancient Near East had ever even heard of. The ruthless army of the Assyrians, vastly capable of overwhelming, flooding over their little kingdom. The people yearned for peace, and they would have done anything to achieve it, including turning to other aggressive neighbors to try and stave off their enemies. Well, the first 10 chapters of Isaiah that form the backdrop for what we're looking at today have three main messages. And one is, yes, it's true. The Assyrians really are coming. The people feared and they cried out to idols. They complained that it could not possibly be so, but the prophet of God, in fact, all the prophets of God, confirmed that the Assyrians really are coming. We look, for example, at Isaiah 7, verse 17. Secondly, they were told not to fear or trust any human armies, as in Isaiah 7, verse 4. Don't put your trust in allegiances with other nations, but also don't fear Assyria either. God says through Isaiah, don't fear and don't trust any of them. But place your hope and trust and fear in God. In chapter 8, verses 12 through 13 is one example of that. But over and over again, Isaiah is repeating that. To place your hope, your trust, and your fear in God and not in any humans. Well, the passage that is written for us today is written with that understanding that the Assyrian invasion is coming. And Isaiah is inviting them to look beyond that time of trouble to imagine a different future. And it's interesting because it's a passage offered as hope and peace to a people who really are going to experience the impact of a very real struggle. Now, the main water cooler conversation for us today is, hey, what's Christmas going to be like at your place this year? We're consumed by that question, aren't we? Because it's the most difficult time of a very difficult year. And if there's anything, one thing that we would like to be normal, it's Christmas, right? We would just like Christmas to be normal. You can see the politicians grappling with that question, afraid to really say what they're feeling. Well, we've taken to warlike speech about this coronavirus, and even though some in our number remember World War II with tanks and troops, enemy troops outside their front doors and enemy planes overhead, still for the rest of us, this feels like war, and the enemy is indeed on our doorstep, and so it's threatening our very sense of peace. You know, someone came by the church this week, and they came because they needed food, but the man needed much more than food. I spent some time with him, and I drove him down to the food bank, and we talked, and it was obvious now that I've seen this man off and on over a couple-year period that this pandemic is really getting to him. The joblessness, the financial insecurity, and sometimes the raw hunger that it has produced for him is taking its toll on his mental state. Well, to be honest, and most of us, in a hopefully a much lesser way, are feeling anxious as well because we're constantly having to readjust to the circumstances around us. We can't make any plans with any certainty, and Christmas is part of that. Christmas is not going to be like what we're used to. But in response, the message of Isaiah rings through the century. Put your faith and your hope and your trust in God, and you will find peace. Fear God and do not fear this enemy or any other enemy, even the enemy death. Do not fear the enemy death, but live in God's way. Now, you know from your Bible history that the invasions of conquering armies, Assyria and Babylon, did indeed come, and the people did indeed get carried off to captivity. At the end of the time that God had called out by the prophets, the people came home. At least a remnant of the people came home. Others stayed and, in fact, dispersed further across the known world of the time, forming a Jewish diaspora which has lasted until modern times. Well, this passage here, speaking of remnant, is interesting because it does not say that Israel's situation will be resolved just by return from that physical exile. It does not say that this too will end and then you can get on with your lives. No, it looks ahead to the time in verse 11 when God would, quote, extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that is left of his people from the people scattered over the then known world. In other words, it looks forward beyond the first return from exile to a more distant future, to a time where God would regather his people. You'll notice in this passage that it never uses the word peace or shalom. Instead, the prophet is giving us word pictures of peace, rich poetry painting vivid imagery which has stood the test of time. First, it paints a picture of a time when creation itself participates in God's shalom, forming a peaceable kingdom where children and domestic animals and wild creatures all happily coexist, as in the picture before us now. And we're to be forgiven if the images in our own heads come from Narnia stories, because I think that's where this passage is, where Narnia got its imagery as well. The second picture is that of an end to hostility with warring neighbors, whether those warring neighbors were part of their own Israelite brothers or sisters, or foreigners, all coming together under the banner of the root of Jesse. And the third word picture that we're given is that of a highway, a pathway of peace stretching from ancient Egypt to Assyria, from modern Cairo to Baghdad, with Jerusalem as its center point. And the great rivers have now been turned into fords, and the walls and the barriers have been removed. And the purpose of this highway is to allow God's chosen people to come back home from the four corners of the earth. Now, we certainly would not be alone if we saw in the fulfillment of that the 1948 creation of the modern state of Israel. After all, was this not a gathering back from peoples of the world to the ancient homeland of Israel? And yet we know from our history, our recent history from that point, that the Middle East is not the peaceable kingdom pictured here in verses 6 through 9, where the wolf and the lamb and the lion and the lamb and the calf all feed together and children place their hands on snake pits. Not literally, not metaphorically. No, the passage takes us even further ahead, when the time that the peace of God resulting from the universal knowledge of the Lord filling the earth brings that kind of peace. The universal knowledge of the Lord filling the earth. Interestingly, I received a phone call just this past week from someone who really wanted to speak to me in detail about these matters of end time. And what he wanted me to know was that this verse 9 about the knowledge of God filling the earth like waters of the sea had been fulfilled way back in 1844, that Jesus had spiritually come back in 1844 in the person of a living human being. And the evidence he gave was that that knowledge of the Lord was scientific advances of the past 175 years, that this was the filling of the earth with the knowledge of the Lord, and that the peaceable kingdom that we read about here had been inaugurated. It just hasn't really been realized yet. Well, the fact is, though, that over the last century and a half, there have been many proponents of various religions speaking of a golden age for humanity. That golden age never came. Instead, the ferocity of many wars since that time destroyed most of the golden age visions, and it reminded us once again that the world needs a peace that only God can bring. We need a peace that only God can give. And this peace is based on Jesus, the stump, the shoot of the stump that Herman spoke of last week, the one on whom the Spirit of the Lord rests. We watch and wait for his return, for his literal, physical return, the one who models for us the fear of the Lord, reaching out to the poor and the meek with righteousness and with equity. Jesus, the root of Jesse, we are told, will stand as a banner, a signal to the nations. Jesus' signal will be the rallying point to his people among the nations to gather them from where they have been scattered. Even if they were, metaphorically speaking, taken to captivity, God will open up a highway to bring them home. As we have said, We need for God to bring us this peace. But just like Isaiah's original audience, we're not given this imagery of a future peaceable kingdom just so we can look forward to a paradise to come. Rather, we're given to it for our lives now. We're given this passage for our lives now. God is inviting us into kingdom-building practices now in anticipation of this glorious future. He invites us to be peacemakers and blesses our attempts in doing so. Some of you may have heard stories from the Sojourners Organization members who, in the years following 9/11, when the U.S. was warring with Iraq, they went to Baghdad as emissaries of peace without the sanction of their government. And as Shane Claiborne, one of the Sojourners ambassadors, tells it in his book, The Irresistible Revolution, when they left Baghdad, the bombing was literally going on around them as they drove down the desert road. And they forced their way down that highway from ancient Assyria only to flip their car in the desert. They had to be rescued by local Iraqis as American bombs dropped around them. And here they were, Americans being rescued, their lives literally saved by the very people being bombed by their own government. You see, that highway of peace had not yet been opened up. But these folks from the Sojourners organizations offered themselves as early adopters to help pave the way as emissaries of peace, Christian peacemakers, for that road through the desert. Now, I expect that none of us will be going to Iraq anytime soon, although some in our number here today have gone to some pretty dangerous places and done some pretty daring things for the cause of Jesus. But even so, we, you and I, are invited as peacemakers, participants in building the peaceable kingdom, in ending hostility, in building a pathway of peace. Stated as simply as Jesus did, we're all invited, every follower of Jesus, to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. The beautiful poetry here in Isaiah 11 rests on the foundation of the shoot from the stump of Jesse, on whom the Spirit of the Lord rests, to bring righteousness and poor and equity for the meek. As followers of Jesus, we're invited to be participants in this. And to do so, we raise Jesus as a signal, a banner to a watching world. And on this banner is written the words, the Prince of Peace. To do so, we actively practice the tools that we've been given for peacemaking, that is, forgiveness and interpersonal reconciliation, choosing to say no to hostilities, to letting hostilities fester. To do so, we involve ourselves in the lives of those on whom the world weighs heavily, offering them peace in the midst of their anxiousness. To do so, we walk actively the pathway of peace and invite others to walk along with us. So let me end with just one other story from Shane Claiborne's time in Iraq, as told by the journalist Mark Eberly. He tells the story this way. When Shane Claiborne was in Baghdad during the initial stages of the Iraqi war, as a civilian and a peacemaker, he attended a birthday party for a young girl whose family he had become friends with. She was just turning 13. The friends and family had gathered for a feast. They played games and ran around in circles until they fell over laughing. At one point, they began playing balloon volleyball when bombs began exploding in the background. The adults looked at one another with fear and uneasiness, but not wanting to scare the children, they kept playing. But then an explosion went off nearby. The adults huddled with the kids to protect them with their bodies. Shane Claiborne looked into the eyes of the young girl, birthday girl, who told him with such an incredible amount of courage, "It's okay. Don't be scared." Then she smacked them on the head with a balloon. Those children who were raised hearing bombs going off still wanted to play with the people whose country was bombing them. When asked what she wished for, she blew out the candles. She answered without any coaching, "Peace. I want peace." She hoped for and perhaps believed that maybe one day people would stop trying to kill one another. And a little child shall lead them. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, it's at this juncture of asking for your peace that we know we must become like children and just, Lord, learn to accept and give the kind of peace that you offer to us. So, Lord, we assume that posture now as children needing your peace in a warring world and wanting to be the peacemakers that you've called us to be. Lord, would you enable us to do so this Christmas season, pointing people, pointing others to the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Into this time of sharing the Lord's Supper, I invite you to take the bread and the wine that you've prepared, and we look forward to sharing this together. You spoke of the days to come, Architect of Life, when anthills would erupt from dirt, when cattle would gather under the shade trees, when cats would nurture little children, when chaos would be transformed into creation, and we stood within your garden of goodness. Finally, when no one expected, you came, not in power, but poverty, a crying baby born to nobodies. As we began our journey to Bethlehem, as we seek to be alert and awake, we would proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ died, seeking the good for all. Christ was raised, putting on resurrection's love. Christ will come precisely when we least expect him. Now, pour out your Spirit upon the gifts of the bread and the cup, and on those gathered for these moments. Feed us with the bread which is broken. So that in the days to come we may bring healing to the shattered and give comfort to the lonely. Pour the cup of grace into us. So that in the days to come we may wrap others in warm coats, laying aside our differences, walking with others in the light of justice. And when you come when we least expect to bring all history to an end, gather us around the table of peace, where we will join our sisters and our brothers of every place and time in forever praising you, God in community, holy and one. Amen. the gifts of God for the people of God. Take the bread and eat, remembering that Jesus' body has been given for you as a sacrifice for all your sins. Take and drink. Jesus said, this wine is the blood of the new covenant, which is given for the complete forgiveness of all your sins. Will you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we humbly thank you for your gifts of body and blood, your gifts of bread and wine. You make us one with you, Lord. We are so thankful for all that you have done for us and your sacrifice, for coming to earth, for living as we live, for dying as all must die, and for conquering death on our behalf, and for the forgiveness of sins and all that you have accomplished for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Invite us now to respond with God reigns. Let's sing together, shall we? God reigns, earth rejoices, oceans shout God's might. Clad in truth and joy, God's throne is our delight. Clouds roll aside, and night becomes as day. God will dwell among us, God will show the way. Stars will mark the pathway, stars will mark the place. When God comes in glory, mountains will shake and worthless idols fall. Zion will rejoice, for God is Lord of all.
Joy goes for the righteous, joy for God's own heirs. Love almost excelling, grace beyond compare.
Daughters and sons, God's majesty proclaims. Let your hearts declare the Lord's most holy name. May grace and peace be yours in abundance in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people say, Amen.
Speed.
kingdom is coming, healing is near, and I shall be with you in laughter and pain, to stand in the wind and walk in the rain, to walk in the rain. Tomorrow the sun shall appear, freedom is coming, healing is near, and I shall be with you in laughter and pain, to stand in the wind and walk in the rain, to walk in the rain.